Susan Tabor.
Join the meeting.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Charlie. Hi, Bob. Hi, Georgette. Hi, Susan. Is that you, Susan?
Oh, that's me. Is that, who is that?
You don't recognize my voice.
Oh, Carolyn, Carolyn, years. Carolyn. Oh, yes. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Susan. I see Diane is on, but she's not there.
She might be muted.
Yeah, but she's not there.
Oh.
There's just an empty chair.
Oh.
I know that was Lynn. Hi, Lynn. She's on mute. She can't hear us. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Lynn. Lynn, can you hear us? I don't think so. Bob, can you hear me?
There's audio.
Bob, can you hear me? Bob. Georgette, you can hear me.
I can, yeah, but I had to turn up my speaker.
Okay. Charlie, you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Susan, you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Lynn and Bob can't hear me. I can tell.
Yeah.
Where's the chat?
Your volume.
Okay. To Bob. And then to Lynn.
Hi.
Oh, there's somebody.
There she, yeah.
I can hear.
You can hear?
I can hear.
Oh, hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Did you hear us calling you?
No, but I see this little phone thing.
Ah, okay.
Whenever you're not talking, this phone appears. It's green. It's a green phone.
A green phone? I don't have that.
I have it.
You have it? Where?
Right in the middle.
It goes right on your face, Carolyn. Here it comes.
You didn't know you had a phone growing out of your face.
I didn't know that, no.
It says recording.
That I see. Yeah.
I don't know how to make it little. Well,
I don't have it, but I know why I don't have it.
No audio. I'll work on it. Okay. What should I tell Bob? To hit
his volume, maybe.
All right, let's see.
That's what worked on mine.
Hi, Lanny.
Hi. My dog's here going,
Is it Cody?
Yeah, Cody.
Hi, Cody.
Come here. Oh,
hey, yeah. Alan.
Okay. You know why? I'll have to go on mute as soon as possible.
Okay. Hi, Ellen.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you?
Hello. Good.
You're looking good.
Thanks, considering I was puking my brains out the last couple of days.
Oh, no.
I was at an REC. Everything was fine. I was there with Lanny. And Lanny, I think it was the Jason's food. I got home. I was so sick.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Yeah.
Careful.
Yeah, I know. Usually I can have Jason's, but it might have been the way it was prepared.
Oh.
Because the actual food I can eat. So, hi, Christine.
Hey, how are you?
Hello. Hello.
Good to see everybody. Hey, Carolyn. Oh, it's so good to see you.
You too.
We get to see each other once a month. Isn't it wonderful? To see everybody else.
Like a fraternity meeting.
It is. Well, it is a meeting. It's a meeting.
We're going to have a couple of extra folks. Charlie Fowler up there in the corner is from Boston. Say hi, Charlie.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
And Susan, who we don't see, we just see a phone. She is from Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, wonderful.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi. Here's Lanny. Hey, Lanny.
Hi. Haven't seen you in a while. Two days.
2 days. That's right.
Yeah, I was going to spend Saturday night up there. Then I realized Sunday was my the gathering, so yeah. I had to make it home Saturday night.
Right.
Cody and I survived.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay, I'm going to go on mute because I'm just afraid she's going to hear something and start barking.
Okie doke. I don't know where Diane is. Diane! Diane! Diane's also been sick. She's had 102 temperature.
Oh, that's awful. Wow. People are dropping like flies around here.
Wow. Really?
Really?
Yeah, I just want to stay away from everybody.
It's Joanne and Dorothy Ann. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Carolyn. Hello. Hello, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you.
You're looking good.
Thank you. I feel good. Yes. Ready for this Catholic social teaching?
Yes, I am too.
Yes.
I'm excited about it.
Diane is away from her dad. And Matka, who is this?
Oh, really?
Carolyn. Who is it?
Who's who?
Who is M-A-T-C-A?
That's Lynn. Lynn Olser from Padre Pio in Raleigh.
Lynn, hello, Lynn.
Nice to see you.
Yes, nice to see you.
Hi, Willie. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi,
Willie.
Welcome on.
Hello.
Diane is on, but she is.
God bless you. That's wonderful.
Diane! Hello!
There's Willie. Hello, Willie. Joanne.
Hi.
Dorothy Ann.
Hi.
Oh, it's over there.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Is that Father Chris?
Yes, no.
Good. You hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good.
Who is that?
This is Bob.
Bob Pearson.
Yes, I needed an update, so I'm updated.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, how you doing, Willie?
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Can you hear us, Judy?
No, okay, she can't.
There's Diane. Hey, Diane.
Here she is.
Here I am. I'm sorry.
There you are.
You're feeling okay. Oh my.
How are you feeling?
Not well.
Yeah.
What happened, Diane?
Well, I got bronchitis.
Italy and got sick.
Went to Italy and I got sick.
Oh,
just so everybody knows, we're recording, but I'll cut this part out.
Okay.
But I went to Italy and got sick. That's what happened. Got bronchitis when I got back, and now I went back to the doctor this afternoon. And I have strep throat and strep in me. So I'm just like germ person.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay, before we start, I want to introduce Charles Fowler. Charles, say hi.
Hi.
Charlie is from Boston. St. Elizabeth of Hungary region. And Susan Tabor, she's on the phone. You can't see her, but you can see her phone. She's from Lawrence, Kansas. And these are two of my J-Picky friends. Say hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
And Charlie and Susan, Diane Ambrose is our regional formation director.
Great, great.
And crazy woman in general.
Oh, well.
All right, we ready?
I think so.
All right, I'm going to start with a reading from John 1, 4, 11 through 12. And then I'll do a prayer, and then Carolyn will take over. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then we pray. Lord God, for you we long direct our minds and bodies throughout this day that we may grow in holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That was very appropriate, Diane. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
So, just to recap a little bit, what is Catholic social teaching? So, the definition that we had last time was Catholic social teaching is a central and essential element of our faith. It emerges from the truth of what God has revealed to us about himself. We believe in the triune God, whose very nature is communal and social. God the Father sends his only Son, Jesus Christ, and shares the Holy Spirit as his gift of love. And that is from the USCCB website. So what I said last month was that Catholic social teaching is an invitation to a relationship with God and with all of God's creatures, God's people, and God's world. And in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to know the person or thing you want to be in relationship with. God has always desired a relationship with his people, but he wants us to return the favor. So Catholic social teaching is the expression of that relationship. It helps us have a just and right relationship with God and God's creation. Where does Catholic social teaching come from? So it basically stems from three main sources. It's biblical, the revealed and living word of God. Moral, it grows out of scripture and engages human reason, knowing, and experience. And it's ecclesial, the writings of the popes and the bishops. In Centesimus Annus, which is the encyclical of John Paul II, written on the 100th anniversary of Rerum Novarum, and those of you who know Rerum Novarum is considered the encyclical that began Catholic social teaching. But in that 100-year anniversary encyclical, John Paul II says, the true identity of the human person is only fully revealed through faith. And it is precisely from faith that the church's social teaching begins. While drawing upon all the contributions made by the sciences and philosophy, her social teaching is aimed at helping humanity on the path of salvation. So, Catholic social teaching is not merely about those seven themes, which I think is what we all recognize when we talk about Catholic social teaching. And we will get into those probably next time. But it's about how we interact with people, with God's people. And it's also about how those people interact with us. If we see a need, we are called to fulfill that need to the best of our ability. Our rule speaks of us being in the forefront of promoting justice, especially in the field of public policy. Now, I know there are those Franciscans that think we should have nothing to do with politics. We should just be about praying and the things of the Spirit. But politics are about the people.
Yeah.
And we are called to be about the people. Politics are the activities associated with the governance of a particular area and the policies that come out of that governance based on the needs of the people in that area. So if we don't work to promote just laws, it is the people who suffer, God's people. When there are improper zoning laws, for example, the people in that area are affected by some sort of hazard. When there is limited affordable housing, then there is a widespread homelessness. It begins with the laws and policies, but ultimately it is about the people. To quote Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, we should recall that no man is an island, entire of itself. Our lives are involved with one another. Through innumerable interactions, they are linked together. No one lives alone. No one sins alone. No one is saved alone. The lives of others continually spill over into mine. In what I think, say, and do, and achieve. And conversely, my life spills over into that of others, for better or worse. Pope Francis called this a throwaway culture. You remember reading that in Laudato Si, and he was talking about the excessive amount of waste. But I dare say that we can also apply it to God's people who live on the margins of our society, the homeless, the poor, the diseased, our modern day lepers. These are God's people. And we who call ourselves followers of Jesus are called to help those who live on the margins. Jesus said, we will always have the poor with us, which means like formation and like Catholic social teaching, our work is ongoing. So let's briefly go through the methods of Catholic social teaching. It begins with God and recognizes that God acts in history, God is present in reality, God's revelation is ongoing. It also names reality and its impact upon the person in society. So it reads the signs of the times. It takes those realities of the world on its terms and looks at them through the eyes of faith. It looks at social, political, economic, and cultural realities and engages in dialogue with them. And it raises moral and ethical questions. Catholic social teaching also focuses on the person in society. It looks to how the poorest and most vulnerable are faring as an indicator of the degree of justice present and active. It preserves and defends the dignity and worth of the person because they are made in the image and likeness of God. Again, it raises questions about the definition and direction of progress and who benefits or who suffers. Catholic social teaching also strives to form the Christian community. It serves as a call to draw one into awareness, analysis, discernment, and action as a Christian in the world. It teaches in order to form consciences. It fosters recognition of the gospel call to love of God, neighbor, the earth, and self. It attempts to break through apathy and blindness so that the preferential option for the poor is possible. It is a call to embrace one's true vocation as a Christian disciple in this world. And it sets forth a social vision which strives to focus the consciousness, reflection, and action of the person in the community. And lastly, Catholic social teaching calls for a response that will lead to transformative action. It's one thing to be about loving the poor, wanting to help the poor, but it's about the action we take as well. It presents principles and takes principled stands. It does not offer complete models or ideologies. So I interpret that to mean when there is an action that is needed, you take it to prayer, first and foremost. Its hope and goal is to work in collaboration with all people of goodwill to bring about a better world for humankind. It seeks action which strives for greater symmetry between the reign of God and the social order. It seeks to close the gap between the reality and the ideal. It recognizes that this process is ongoing and it seeks greater peace and greater justice. And if we look at our rule, Article 13 tells us, as the Father sees in every person the features of his Son, the firstborn of many brothers and sisters, so the secular Franciscans, with a gentle and courteous spirit, accept all people as a gift of the Lord and an image of Christ. A sense of community will make them joyful and ready to place themselves on an equal basis with all people, especially with the lowly for whom they shall strive to create conditions of life worthy of people redeemed by Christ. So from the Franciscan Journey, we read, they should deepen the true foundations of universal kinship and create a spirit of welcome and an atmosphere of fraternity everywhere. They should firmly commit themselves to oppose every form of exploitation, discrimination, and exclusion, and against every attitude of indifference in relation to others. They should work together with movements which promote the building of fraternity among peoples. They should be committed to create worthy conditions of life for all and to work for the freedom of all people.
Carolyn, what page is that on the journey?
That's 226, the chapter on how to love people.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the Franciscan journey is a total peace and justice document, in my opinion. This is Catholic social teaching to the hill. Just read this and you've got it. So in closing, I just want to leave you with a couple of things from, again, B16, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, from his encyclical called Spe Salve, Saved in Hope, from 2007. And he says, the true measure of humanity is essentially determined in relationship to suffering and to the sufferer. This holds true both for the individual and for society. A society unable to accept its suffering members and incapable of helping to share their suffering and to bear it inwardly through compassion is a cruel and inhuman society. Yet, society cannot accept its suffering members and support them in their trials unless individuals are capable of doing so themselves. Moreover, the individual cannot accept another's suffering unless he personally is able to find meaning in suffering, a path of purification and growth in maturity, a journey of hope. He goes on to say, to suffer with the other and for others, to suffer for the sake of truth and justice, to suffer out of love and in order to become a person who truly loves. These are fundamental elements of humanity, and to abandon them would destroy man himself. Yet once again, the question arises, are we capable of this? Is the other important enough to warrant my becoming, on his account, a person who suffers? Does truth matter to me enough to make suffering worthwhile? And is the promise of love so great that it justifies the gift of myself? And I want you to really think about those questions. Are you able to suffer with another? That's empathy.
Yeah.
Right? You all with me? You hear me?
Yeah, we're with you. And one thing I wanted to say was, Judy, when you first started, she typed, I think CST is, in quotes, our rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In chat.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, compassion or suffering with another is not looked upon wisely. I just had a counselor, not my counselor, but a counselor I had lunch with on Sunday tell me, you've got to do it without suffering to the other person. You can't take on their suffering. And I thought to myself, that is not the right way to do it.
Mm.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing from the condemnum of the social doctrine of the church, number 48, I like this. It says, I'm trying to read this thing. It says, the human person cannot and must not be manipulated by social, economic, or political structures because every person has the freedom to direct himself towards his ultimate end. On the other hand, every cultural, social, economic, and political accomplishment in which the social nature of the person and his activity of transforming the universe are brought about in history must always be considered also in the contents of its relative and reality. And then it says the form of this world is passing away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we're always changing, but yet we can't change so much that we leave people behind and that we, like Joanne said, you know, that we can't, we do need to take people's suffering on because that is empathy.
To share, understand. To share their pain takes away the pain, lifts up the pain.
Exactly.
When I was doing, whenever I do grief counseling, I would say to the group, when you share your grief, it's halved, it's cut in half. But when you share your joy, it's doubled.
Yes.
Wow.
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's always about the person.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what it says in here. It says, number 69, with her social doctrine, meaning the church aims at helping man on the path of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that they talk about that before they ever talk about social doctrine, when they talk about the church's mission in social doctrine.
Mm-hmm. And John Paul II also mentions that in Centesimus Annus, you know, that the Catholic social doctrine of the of our church is about leading us to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The people, right? Because only people can be saved. We don't save buildings. We don't save laws. We don't save policies. It's about the people. And we need to remember that whenever we're talking about, you know, public policy, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is God's people.
And we never go to heaven by ourselves.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. We don't get saved all by ourselves.
That's right.
I think it was Father Chris that said it, ARG, we don't become secular Franciscans by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. It might have been in Kansas. I get in my places confused, but I'm seeing him everywhere I go. So.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. Number 73 in this in the church's missions and social doctrine says, since it's a doctrine aimed at guiding people's behavior.
What number was that again, Diane?
Number 73. I'm in the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church. It's page 32. And the section's called The Nature of the Church's Social... Yeah.
Right.
The nature of the church's social doctrine.
Mm-hmm. We will, Diane and I will get together and have all these things written up and we'll send out the notes.
Yeah.
The notes for, just to let you know, the notes for September, I put them in the Communio. So they're there. They're my article in the Communio. And for the sake of Charles and Susan, who don't get our newsletter, I will send them to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And we also, Christine, from her days of recording, secretary recorded the first one because I couldn't get the Zoom record to work. So we have the audio, so that's going to be on our website. And then the link to this session is going to be on our website.
Oh, that's good.
Cool.
So people can watch this
and
anywhere.
This is the compendium that Diane was talking about a few minutes ago. So if anybody wants to get it, and I think you can get it. Can't you get it in Amazon?
Yeah, I got it on Amazon for like.
Can you get it in? Yeah, can you get it in Amazon?
Amazon.
Yeah.
You can also download it from the USCCB's website.
Yes, you can get the PDF version.
Right.
It's a huge document, but you can get it.
I like my huge book. So.
Yeah. It was part of the reading reference in the Just Faith program. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
I've had mine for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So one of the things that Lester Box says in The Journey, again, that chapter 21 on how to love people, he says, what is the spirit that guides our Franciscan way of relating to people? Article 13 of the rules sets forth a number of qualities. A gentle spirit. A courteous spirit. Accept people as a gift. Accept people as an image of Christ. Place ourselves on an equal basis with people. And recognize people's worth. It's all laid out right there. Mm-hmm. That includes, you know, it's not just the poor and the marginalized, but that includes, believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, the folks that you don't like too much.
Just thinking that very thought.
Rub you the wrong way. The folks that, you know, after you get out of mass, you have a little showdown with them in the parking lot. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and Judy said, let's see what it did. Judy said, now what do we do, especially with the lowly? I'm not sure what she means by that.
Yeah.
Judy's typing.
Okay. Judy, we got to get your audio going here, you know?
Judy, we have to have Judy's voice. But, I'll tell you who it was. Some of you knew Father Tom Vigilato. And he once said to me, remember to see Christ in everyone. And I thought, well, I don't do that.
I was thinking, Judy.
I mean, I was real honest. You know, I was like, I don't do that.
Judy was saying we have to see Christ in the lowly, which is probably very easy for those of us who are on this Zoom meeting. Mm-hmm. But how do you see people, Christ in people, who hold a very different political stance than you do?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly.
Oh, Judy's talking about in Article 13, especially in the lowly.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
She still wants to know what do we actually do.
What do we actually do?
Well, we need to get involved. And then those of us who are in work in food banks or work with if we have something like that in near us, we just get involved and be with the people who are in need. Maybe that.
And listen to them and listen to what they have to teach us.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go talk to them.
Drive them to the doctor, buy them a meal,
pay their electrical bill. I mean, there are just a lot of things you can do for the people in your church around you that come to you that are
learning to vote.
That need, I know, I have a friend that's lowly that likes to tell me what to do. And it's very, I'm helping her. I'm giving her the rides and taking her to the doctor and and helping her in every way. And she likes to tell me what to do. And I have a hard time with that. But when you say go on an equal basis, I am on an equal basis with this woman. I am not her superior. Mm-hmm. She has feelings. She does not want to be the lowly one all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that may be what she does to try to feel, if she feels inferior to you, that may be what she does to try to feel equal. On an equal footing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not pleasant. But
when she tells me what time I need to pick her up, I need to be there at that time, even though it suits me to come at another time.
Yeah.
That is her control, right?
That's her control, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I think not only being an equal, but we have to become the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself on the other person's shoe.
Exactly.
How do you act in those situations? What would you be doing? So we have to place ourselves in somebody else's shoes or step into what they're going through. Become them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Judy typed that we have to get out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
That's very hard.
Yeah.
Especially when it's someone, I mean, it's easy for us to, you know, go to the food pantries and the soup kitchens because we know that these people have a need and we see that need and we are able to fulfill that need to the best of our ability. But, you know, what about the person who disagrees with you in terms of political or, you know, those labels that we place on people, the conservatives versus the liberals, the Republicans versus the Democrats, and, you know, and they start that kind of a conversation. What is their need?
That is so important, Carolyn, because in today's world, we're so divided, we need to learn to disagree in love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, I think it's almost easier to go to the food bank than to talk to somebody that is a different political thought than me.
You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
She says we can listen even when we disagree, and that's true. We can listen.
That is true, Judy.
Their point of view.
I listen and take a lot of deep breaths.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, they're just needing to vent and be heard.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're not looking for a debate.
Yeah.
You know, and you can start off the conversation by saying, I'm here to just listen. I want to know what your point of view is. Yeah. I know, you know, you're my sister, you're my brother. I want to know what you're thinking. I don't have to agree with you, but I'm going to, as Joanne says, I'm going to agree to disagree, you know, and I'm going to agree agreeably.
And I think hear their point of view, because they have something that's hurting them. For some reason, that's important to them. That point of view is important.
Exactly.
I think it's also a good idea to be able to be open and accepting of what the other person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you don't want to be judgmental because again, you just want to have an open conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the key word is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman here in Greensboro, Max Carter, who's a Quaker, and he advises that when you enter a difficult conversation with someone, you enter it with the attitude of what can I learn from this man or this woman, and just keep it at that level, and that reduces any potential conflict within yourself. You may not learn anything, but at least if you're willing to learn, you're starting at a good point.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like that, Bob.
And you may learn something about yourself.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly.
Yeah. And we have to remember to meet people where they are too. Not to try mm-hmm. to know mm-hmm. or anything, but meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And just listen and like you said, and without being judgmental. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times, and also the other thing is we have to also watch the way when the person's talking to us, we need to show them that we're truly listening because mm-hmm. body language tells a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they could be saying something and you may be busy doing something else. And so we have to be attentive to them and we have to be good listeners. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a gentleman, Parker Palmer is a fairly well-known speaker.
Yes.
He talks about, and he went through a period of deep depression. And the only thing that really helped him, not the people who said, Parker, you know, you're well-known, you're a famous author, you're a great speaker, people love you. And he says, that didn't help me at all. What helped was it when a man came by every afternoon at 4 o'clock and just sat on the couch with him, didn't say much at all, but at least he was giving his presence.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I like that word, presence.
I do too. It says a lot.
Yeah. It means we need to be present, mm-hmm. which is what Willie was talking about too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like this number 8881. The object of the church's social doctrine is essentially the same that constitutes the reason for its existence. The human person called to salvation and as such entrusted by Christ to the church's care and responsibility. The church shows her concern for human life in society, aware of the quality of the social life. And I don't know that we always do that.
Right.
Remember that Catholic social teaching has to do with people. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about it, I bet you anyone here on this call, including myself, will think about it a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, years ago, to me, it was just those themes, you know, that card, that's what it was. And, oh, yeah, I could check off, you know. But when you really get down to it, it begins with the rights and the dignity of the human person. And that includes myself.
Yeah.
That includes each and every one of us. And how we are loved and adored and redeemed by a merciful God. That's huge.
It is.
Especially in this day and age mm-hmm. with incivility, so much violence, mass shootings, bombs, you know, folks just talking at each other and not to one another, mm. not recognizing the divine seed, that presence that's within each and every one of us. You know, I love the folks in the East, you know, namaste.
Mm. Yes, I love that.
The divine within you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of that recognition, because that I honor that, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to recognize you as a human being. Not as my enemy. Not as someone who just has differing views. But as my brother or my sister. Imagine if we all did that. Everyone, not just the folks here, not just the folks in this order, not just the folks in the Franciscan family, but everyone. Imagine what this world would be like.
It would be a very different place.
Very different.
One thing Judy
said that she says her challenge is Article 15, being in the forefront and promoting justice with courageous something.
Initiatives.
Oh, okay. It looked like negatives. I was like, what?
Carolyn.
That is difficult. Mm. And, you know, one of the things at Chapter, you know, I had a JPIC formation session at Chapter with a panel discussion. And Sister Marie Lucy was one of the panelists. And I loved what she said. You know, not everyone is called to be out like in rallies or civil disobedience. You have to know what's for you to do. What is yours to do? Like our Seraphic Father said, you know, Christ gave him what is his to do. May he show us what's ours to do. That's the kind of thing we need to take to prayer. Are we called to be out there doing something? Or are we called to a different aspect of social justice? And there's so many different things we could be doing. You know, when I was JPIC animator up in New York, you know, there were three legs to JPIC animation. It was advocacy, charity, and education. Mm. Which one are you called to? Maybe advocacy isn't your thing. It's not mine. I mean, I've been on the Hill. I've been up in Albany. I've addressed the senators and, you know, their staff. I don't like doing that. That's not for me. But there are some people that they're brilliant at that. And I pray for them because they can do that. That's not my gift. My gift is education. And that's what, that was my challenge when I was in New York. He said, you know, our pastor said, we got the advocacy down. We got the charity down. The education is a little iffy. He said, that's your job. And that's what I did. And I tried to educate what he called the pew sitters. You know, those folks in the pews that are just happy to come to Mass, you know, drop a couple of coins in the collection basket and then go about their merry way. Although, when they left the church, they had to step over the homeless.
Yeah.
Right?
Or they're running over each other, getting out of the parking lot.
Yeah. So just to, you know, remind them, why are you coming to Mass? Mm-hmm. What are you getting out of that? It's not just a you, me, you know, kind of a relationship. Just me and God. We just pray. That's it. No. That has to lead you to take an action. And what is that action? What is it that you're called to do? What is that next step? And I think that's what Judy is asking. What is that next step? Mm-hmm. But that's for us to take to prayer. You know, we have to educate ourselves. Like my JPIC little symbol, it says contemplate, educate, animate. So first we fall still. We just get quiet. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal what is stirring, what are the ramblings in my heart. Is it the homeless plight? Is it trying to get folks registered to vote? Is it to something like Habitat for Humanity to build shelters? Is it to just feed the those who are hungry? The Holy Spirit will reveal what is yours to do. Once you get that revelation, then you educate. You learn everything you can about why is it that people are hungry? You know, again, it's about the 2 feet of love in action.
Mm-hmm.
yes, it's easy to do the charitable work. Mm-hmm. Somebody's hungry, you're going to feed them. Somebody's thirsty, you're going to give them something to drink. But then you have to stop and ask yourself, why is this person always hungry? Why doesn't this person have access to clean water? What is going on underneath? What is the root cause? And that's where you educate yourself. And then once you have those two things in place, then you animate. You go out and you take the action. Any thoughts, questions?
Nothing. That's very good, Carolyn. Dorothy Ann, do you want to share what Father Chris shared with you about our region and Catholic social teaching?
Well, at chapter, Father Chris had said that it was our region was the impetus behind the emphasis on Catholic social teaching.
So I thank all of you that were at ARG and brought that up. You know, how do we talk about this? What do we do?
It is very important, especially at this election time. Carolyn talks about putting it into action. What is the root cause? We can all vote and change the structures, the root cause. In that way, we can address the root causes. There's charity on a personal level, and voting in government, on government policy, we can change root causes.
Yeah. And then we need to be compassionate to those with, I guess, different views would be a way to say it.
We do, because that promotes transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When you listen to a person with an opposing point of view with love, that transforms the heart.
That's right.
Yeah, I love the fact that when you have a conversation with someone, true conversation, the root word is conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Or conversation. There's a constant turning. I'm thinking about what you're saying, trying to put myself in your position, trying to empathize, be compassionate. And then when you speak, the other does that. There's that constant conversion in true conversation, which is a mindful listening and a mindful speaking, and also mindful silence. Right, Charlie?
Right. That's right. I'm mindfully listening.
Yes, you are.
Diane, Father Christopher is still doing his, he's still pushing the Catholic social teaching. In fact, he sent an email this morning to the RSA community,
yeah,
the Regional Spiritual Assistance, on Catholic, some topics, some of the stuff he wanted to, for them to know about Catholic social teachings. I was going to pull it up and see if I can read some of the,
okay,
he has said that. I can't find the document.
Okay, all right. Well, if you want to forward it to me, and I can put a little, or forward what you want me to put in the notes, I'll be
sure.
Happy, Willie.
Sure.
So he's still talking it.
He's still talking it, absolutely.
He was also talking about it at our regional chapter. I wasn't there, but a friend of mine who's the secretary was somehow her finger slipped on her keyboard, and she sent me part of the notes that she had already taken. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how Catholic social teaching is so valuable, and, you know, is really our rule. And quite honestly, in my region, it's really good for me to hear someone saying that.
Mm.
I've thought it for a long time, but it's really good to hear someone else say it.
And, you know, it's our entire rule. and the third order
Judy's been saying, yeah.
And the secular, the third order secular, we have the same prologue, the letter to all the faithful, in both schools, you know, so we have that commonality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I have, I you know, I carry my gospel to life, you know, and then I have in the same little booklet, I have the rule of the third order regular, because it too is a beautiful document. And, you know, we have such similarities in terms of our rule. You know, our charism is the same, obviously, but it's wonderful to just continuously have those affirmations, if you will, you know. And I reread today a prologue, the letter to all the faithful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in reading that, and I usually stop at the part one,
mm-hmm.
where it says those who do penance.
Yeah.
I don't get to the part that says but those who don't do penance. You know, well, this time I read those who don't do penance, and I'm like, you know?
Tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know in formation, in local formation, a lot of times that's when we lose people, when we hit in the article where it says, where you don't do penance, what's mm-hmm. going to happen to you? You'll go, oh, I don't think this is for me. And, you know, they're out the door before you even finish reading the article, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do that. I mean, I'm like, what happened there?
Yeah, you know, we all think we're, you know, we're doing it right. We're good, you know, secular Franciscans, but, you know, we fall short at times. And we just need to be reminded, you know, it's not a condemnation. It's just, you know, saying, oops, you know, time to start again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take mm-hmm. it to prayer and start again.
Mm-hmm.
We can have those oops moments because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of them. You know that part where it says daily conversion?
Mm-hmm.
That, hello? Yeah. Absolutely. Because what is it that my sister Dorothy Ann likes to quote? The world would be dull without people?
Oh, yes. Life would be dull without people.
I mean, you walk out, you know, when you get up, it, you know, you're doing fine, and then...
Then you go out in the people.
Then you go. You go out and it's all people-y. There's lots of people out there.
Does anybody else... I'm sorry, somebody said something.
I was just saying you fall and get up, or that conversion can be minute by minute sometimes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Very true. Does anybody else want to share that hasn't spoken much?
I was going to ask a question. This is
sure, Ella.
I don't know when you do the planning for the ARG agenda, but I'm wondering if CST would be a good topic.
I know we had talked about doing that for the spring workshops.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, and ARG, I don't know if we have a speaker. Yeah.
It's the elections.
It's elections.
Yeah. So we're going to have some breakout sessions so we can always talk about it there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but we're definitely going to cover it during spring workshops. So
last year in spring workshops, your topic was formation. This year,
part of it's going to be Catholic social teaching.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Diane.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Carolyn.
And if anybody has any other ideas that they want to see in spring workshop, please let me know, because I'm working on it right now. So to send to the REC for them to approve it. But yeah, one of the major things I felt like we needed to focus, two things I got back from the workshops and from ARG was Catholic social teaching. And like Judy said, okay, I got the what, now the how. Everybody told me, okay, you gave me the what of formation, so now how do I do that? Mm-hmm. And I actually have a something that I did last year at the National Regional Formation Directors Workshop. They gave us 3 hours to write a lesson plan and do a little PowerPoint presentation on a chapter of the journey and the fun manual that went with it. So I was actually going to have us do that in the session, have each table write a lesson plan so that they can learn how to do that. Because that seemed to be something that a lot of people were saying. Okay, you gave me the what, now what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. So, anybody else have any, Carolyn, got any closing comments?
No.
Anybody else have any comments, thoughts?
Judy, surprise.
I want to thank everybody for a good discussion.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Thank you for allowing those of us from the outside to be a part of your meeting.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah, you're always welcome.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Joining, and Charlie.
And Charlie.
Thank you. I do. I want to leave with the words of St. Clair. Okay? You know I had to have something.
I'm only laughing because that's what I was going to do.
We're like this. Okay. What you hold, may you always hold. What you do, may you always do and never abandon. But with swift pace, light step, and unswerving feet, so that even your steps stir up no dust, go forward securely, joyfully, and swiftly. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
God bless you and keep you.
Thank you. Okay.